Church, open your Bible in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Have a Mary morning and a Martha day. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to verse 42. This title is not mine. I saw this title and I found it that it really depicts what this story is all about. If we have a Mary morning, for sure we can have a Martha day. But if we miss the Mary morning, even though we try to be Martha, it's not going to be good because we miss the Mary morning. You're going to see that in the story and as we go through the sermon. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. God loves us, that's why he gave us his word. He loves us, that's why he gave us his son on the cross. And God loves us, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit be the teacher here today for us. Church, I want to introduce this sermon, this story, with the purpose of it. What is the purpose here? No. The purpose is not to conflict serving with devotion. That's not the purpose. Instead, we are harmonizing them. Okay? Jesus never said that serving is wrong. He only said that Mary had found the one thing. And what's the one thing? Jesus Christ himself. I want to illustrate this with this pastor. He's a busy pastor. So one person asked him, "How much time do you separate to your devotional life? And what time do you do your devotions?" Because the guy is very busy. And he said something along these lines. "Correction, I don't have a devotional time. I have a devotional life." Okay? I don't have a devotional time. I have a devotional life. Everything I do, it's before the Lord. I have a Mary morning and I have a Martha day. I'm always at the presence of the Lord. That's the purpose of this story. So today we have one key question for us, which is our first point. Oh, the quick question, key question is this: how can we have a Mary morning and a Martha day? And the number one answer is with wisdom. There is a time for everything, Solomon said. And first things first, that's not Solomon who says that. The guy on the street, the guy on the work, that's your boss when you miss the task. He says, first things first, go do your task. Later you go for coffee and chat with your friends. And you say, "All right, boss, you pay my check. I'm doing what you said," right? So first things first, those things illustrate this story very well. Have a merry morning, a devotional where you are in the presence of the Lord, and later go and do your work and serve him. I have an illustration here. One guy was given a jar. It wasn't as small as this one, a little bit bigger. And he was given sand and rock. And he was told that if you put both here, it's gonna fit perfectly. It's not gonna overflow. It's not gonna be on top of the line. It's gonna be precisely what the jar needs. So the guy went and poured sand in the jar. And after he poured sand, he put the rocks. And here's what happened. The rocks went above. He couldn't close the jar. So then he put everything out and he started with the rocks first. And then he poured the sand. And guess what was the result? The jar closed. Why? Because the rocks are here and then the sand fills the spot, every gap very well. And then they fit the jar. That's wisdom. Our prayer lives, our devotional life with Christ, it's like the rock. It's the first thing we do. It's solid foundation. It's the cornerstone. And all the other things, like Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom, and all the other things will be added. So how can we have a Mary morning and a Martha day? First of all, with wisdom. If Mary is seated at Jesus' feet, Mary is receiving wisdom, because there is nobody more wise than Jesus. So that's our first point. Let us move to the second point. How can we have a Mary morning and a Martha day? It is number two, no problem. With the Word of God. If Mary receives wisdom from Jesus' mouth, the question we need to ask is, where does wisdom come from? And wisdom comes from the Word of God, the Word of Christ. He is the Word Himself. And in the Bible, church, there is two stories that, again, depict, summarize, illustrate this story of Martha and Mary very well. First one, it's the early church. Here, what happens in Mary and Martha's house on a small scale happened in a large scale in Acts chapter 6. You're going to know that. The early church was growing under the apostles' preaching. The church was getting big. And as you know, church, every time the church gets big and there is a lot of people and there is a lot of opinions, right? There is problems. So the first challenge of the early church was this. There was food, water, there was supply for the Hebrew widowers. But there was not supply for the Greek widowers. They were focusing on the Hebrew and they were despising the Greek. Very selective, very bad. So the issue, the Greek ladies, the Greek widowers, they did something very important. Are you guys ready for this? They complained. Very important. Complain. In Brazil, we say, if the baby doesn't cry, the baby doesn't get fed by the mama. The baby gotta cry. So the ladies complained. And the apostles now had a decision to make. Are we going to serve the tables ourselves, or are we going to focus on the Bible, on the study, on the teaching, on the preaching, and we're going to delegate the serving of the tables to the deacons? What are we going to do? And you know what the apostles did. They reserved their times to the teaching of the Word of God, and they delegate the serving of the tables to the deacons. What they did there in a macro scale, the church, it's what happens in this story. It's not right to serve the tables at the expenses of the Word of God. The Word of God is central to the life of the church. I tell you this every time I can. If you take the Word of God out of this building, we don't have a church anymore. We have a community center. If we have 2 hours of worship and 10 minutes for the Word of God, we don't have a church anymore, we have a concert. Okay? The Bible, it's foundational, it's the centrality, it's what makes the church be the church. And if that's true for the church, that is also true for our spiritual life. The Bible, time with Christ, prayer, private life with Him, it's central to our spiritual life. That's what Mary did. Mary seek first the Word of God. And only later, we can talk about serving. That's what the early church teaches us. And the second story, it is the woman at the well, the Samaritan lady, John chapter 4. You know this story. Jesus ran into this lady. She's a Samaritan. He's a Jewish. She is a woman. He is a man. So they are supposed not to talk. But Jesus is a revolutionary rabbi. You know that. He's going to talk. And then he said, "Give me water." And the lady says, "How come you're talking to me? You are Jewish, you are a man. You don't have a bucket. Only I have a bucket to get the water from the well." So there is this back and forth. And there is a time that Jesus says something that has everything to do with this sermon today. Jesus says this, "My lady, if you knew who is the one asking you water, you would stop talking and you would ask him for water and he would give you eternal water, living water, salvation. My lady, you don't feed me, I feed you. You don't give me anything, I give you. You don't serve me, I serve you and I save you." What is happening here with Martha? Martha wants to serve food to Jesus. And Jesus is saying pretty much the same thing. "Dear Martha, you don't serve me, you don't feed me, I feed you. There is a place for you in this table. There is a spiritual banquet that I am giving right now. I have food for you. My disciples are enjoying it. Your sister is enjoying it. And you're missing out. But there is a space for the table. Come and sit at my feet. There is the Word of God." How can we have a Mary morning and a Martha day? With the Word of God. If Mary is at Jesus' feet, she's surely receiving the Word of God. She's surely receiving wisdom. And that brings us to the third point. She's definitely worshiping Jesus. WWW. How can we have a Mary morning and a Martha day? With worship. And what do I mean by worship, church? I'm not talking about organ or piano. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm not talking about this service. When I talk about worship, I'm talking about the heart. The inclination of our heart. To whom do we live for? To whom we want to please? What decisions we make and who do we think of when we make those decisions? Do we think about ourselves or do we think about Him, the most beautiful, the most lovely, the wonderful Jesus? The inclination of our hearts. That's what I mean by worship. So, how can we have a Mary morning and a Martha day with a mindset of worship? Let us see our next slide. Mary had her eyes in Jesus. Okay? That's her inclination. Martha Not so much. Martha was distracted. That's what the text says in verse 39. She was distracted in three ways. First, she was distracted in the work. Church, she was working, and so far, so good. When does the issue rise up? Here it is when it rises up. When Martha took her eyes off Jesus, off the service, and she put the eyes on her sister. That's when the problem came out. And when Martha looks to her sister and doesn't look to Jesus and doesn't look to the work, you discover something very profound. What is this? Martha lost the essence, the beauty of serving. Let me give you an example. There was nobody more busy than Jesus. Nobody. And there was no one more alone than Jesus. When he needed his disciples, they are sleeping. When he needs his disciples, they all run away and leave him by himself. When he needs Peter, Peter denies him. How many times? Not one, not two, three times. There was no one who did ministry more without dependency, without people he can rely on, without good, equitable help. Nobody like him. He was carrying the ministry all by himself. And yet, you will never see Jesus complaining about serving. Search your Bible. You will never see Jesus saying, oh man, this work is too much. Oh man, I'm doing it by myself. Oh God, tell people to, you know, to help me. You'll never see. Jesus had joy in what he did. And that's the essence of ministry. Ministry is joy. When Martha looks to her sister and complains, you find out that she still needs a little bit of adjustment. She needs to see how good, how honorable, how gracious is God when he let us serve, when he calls us to ministry. So first, she was distracted in the work. Second, Martha was distracted from the person of Jesus. You have a small note at the edge of your Bible. Small note. We read verse 41 and verse 42. Jesus says this, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. In other manuscripts, there is this one. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Only one. I like this thing. Whatever version you are taking, whatever manuscript you are taking, the idea is pretty much the same. There is one thing that we all need, and this one is spiritual. Jesus Christ. And there is few things that we all need. Not luxury, not too much. What Jesus is implying here to Martha is very beautiful. Martha, Martha, if Herod was here, if Pilate was here, if a nobleman was here, if Trudeau, Carney, Gustavo was here, these great guys, they would want to be treated like kings. Serve me, serve me, serve me. But not me, Martha. But not me. I'm humble. I'm simple. I'm meek. Yes, I am the king. for sure. But I am simple. Just a few things are needed. In simple English, Martha, put the food on the table, forget about the rest, and sit. I value more the experience rather than what comes to my stomach. I am humble. Come and sit at the table. That's another thing that Martha was distracted from, the essence of who Jesus is. And third, Martha was distracted from Jesus' purpose. Jesus is a rabbi, a teacher. And how could you better honor a rabbi? By sitting and listening to what he has to say. And by heeding his word. That's the best way you can serve him. You can honor him. So Martha was distracted even from Jesus' obvious purpose. And what I like about this story is that Luke is a doctor. The man writing this story is a doctor. And you know, he starts to give you some symptoms. We call it nowadays burnout. There is one instance of a man. He came to work. He opened his office and he paralyzed. I can't enter my office. I can't do this job. I need help. It's too much stress, too much pressure, too much problems. I can't enter my office. That's a picture of a burnout situation. And what are the symptoms there? Distraction, anxiety, and trouble. When Luke says that Martha was distracted, he's talking about her vision, her goal, her purpose. When Luke says that Martha was anxious, he's talking about her heart, what's going on inside of her. Instead of being at peace, she is boiling, stirring. She's anxious. And when Luke talks about trouble, he talks about the external things. What is putting pressure on her? Hospitality, serving a meal, my honor, my dignity, all of that thing troubling her. In the Greek church, that word, distraction, really says everything. It translates like this. Martha was everywhere. Martha was all over the place. And you know, this is not a good thing. For example, suppose I'm preaching here, and then I start the sermon in Adam, and then I go to Revelation, and then I come to Jesus, and then I go to Jeremiah, and then I make a joke, and then you don't know where I am anymore. And you're going to say at the end of the sermon, Pastor, great sermon, you were everywhere, all over. You know I did poor job, right? Yes or no, church? Right? So, Martha was everywhere and nowhere at the same time. So, you see, she is not our goal, our model. Mary is. Mary had her eyes always at the Lord. And that's what we're going to see now in our conclusion. How can we have a Mary morning and a Martha day? Let's learn from Mary herself. Can I have the next slide? I need to be fair to the text. So far, I did not give you context. I hold the context for the conclusion. Now, let me give you context, and we're going to put ourselves in Martha's shoes, okay? And once we put ourselves in Martha's shoes, we are faced with a very tough question. First, hospitality. Church, in Martha's culture, hospitality is not optional. It's mandatory. You know the story of Jesus. Once he went to the house of a Pharisee, and the man did not show proper hospitality. The man did not kiss his hand. The man did not wash Jesus' feet. The man did not anoint Jesus' head. And Jesus said, "You didn't do nothing of this to me." Those things are what nowadays it is. We take somebody's shoes, we take somebody's coats, we give a hug, we give a water. Basic hospitality. So Jesus rebuked that man for not showing proper hospitality. So Martha must be hospitable. Second, another challenging that Martha is facing is that ladies were not included in ministry. Ladies did not sit at the rabbi's feet. That privilege was only to men in her days. And you know that Jesus is a brave, bold, and courageous rabbi. He includes women in ministry. Sit at my feet. There is space for ministry for you here. And you may ask, Gustavo, why is Jesus doing that? Because Jesus is wise. Church, I have been to Scott Mission Camp this week. Question for you. Who do you think runs the camp? The teenager boys or the teenager girls? No, we are not politically correct here, church. Not both. It's the ladies. If you take the ladies out of that camp, there is no camp. If you take Trisha out of our board, Kevin, Tony, and I. Do you understand what I say, church? Can we hear amen? Jesus include the ladies, obviously. He made them. He made them equally the image of likeness of God. Simple. Third, in any culture, in any time, in any house, no matter if you're rich, no matter if you're poor, serving Jesus plus 12 men, 13 and a few more, it's a lot of work. A lot of work. And we raised the question, due to this circumstance, was it feasible to stop and sit at Jesus' feet? Was it possible to stop and sit at Jesus' feet? That's an honest question we need to ask. Can we have the next slide? We're going to have the answer. And the answer, church, it is yes. Yes. It is possible to stop and be at Jesus' feet. And how do we know that, church? Because Mary did. The answer, it is in the text. Mary did stop everything and sit at Jesus' feet. And Mary is always at Jesus' feet. Always. Literally. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. John chapter 11, verse 32. Her brother Lazarus died. Jesus comes. She goes to Jesus, and at his feet, she weeps. She begs. She prays. She pleads. And in answer to her prayers and Martha's as well, the Lord goes and resurrects Lazarus. Mary at Jesus' feet. John chapter 12, same house, same context, same people. Mary brings a bucket with, not bucket, a jar with perfume. Expensive perfume. And she breaks it and she puts into Jesus' feet, worshiping Him, serving Him, preparing Him for the cross, preparing Him for His burial. Mary was always at Jesus' feet. It is possible. It is possible. It is all about it's all about decision, church. It's all a matter of decision. Hospitality can wait. The text can wait. TV can wait. Right now, I'm going to stop. I'm going to sit at my Lord's feet. I'm going to enjoy His presence. I'm going to worship Him. It's a matter of decision. I have been both part-time and full-time pastor. And I have been serving the Lord even before being a pastor. No matter what, it is always a matter of decision. There is always and always temptation for you not to go to the secret place. Always temptation. When you have too much time, it is the TV. When you have little time, it is because I don't have little time. No matter what, there is always the temptation to drag you out of the Lord's presence. And this is a matter of decision. We decide to be at His feet. We decide to be at His presence. Let me conclude this with Jesus. We learned from Mary, now let us learn from Jesus. There was no one busier than Jesus, yet He always had time for His Father and for people. I'll give you this picture. Jesus was always at His Father's presence, praying and doing all that, and His disciples would come out. Lord, we need Your attention. Lord, there is a problem. Lord, and the Lord always had time for people. And on the other side of the coin, it's also true. The ministry of our Lord started in the morning, but there was no time to finish. When Jesus was in town, everybody wanted to be around Him, touch Him, receive a healing, receiving a blessing, listen to Him. And the ministry would drag and drag and drag. Even though Jesus was always at His Father's feet, praying and in the presence of His Father. Yes, church, it is possible to have a Mary day, Mary morning, and a Martha day. May the Lord bless us to have that. In Jesus' name, amen.